Welcome to Profit First Nation, the official podcast for entrepreneurs who are operating their businesses in the zone of permanent profitability. I'm Mike Michalowicz, the author of Profit First, and now here's your Profit First Nation guide, Daniel Mulvey.
Welcome to another episode of Profit First Nation. Today we're going to talk about avoiding the owner's trap. What is the owner's trap? Well, it's where you, the founder, the owner, the president, the big cheese, the wearer of all the hats, becomes too significant and too heavily relied upon to sell and deliver the products and services in your business. Of course, yes, you most likely start out as your company's primary salesperson, and interacting with the customer directly is good in those beginning stages to get things figured out, dialed in, etc. But, and because you are the main salesperson, you think that you're able to satisfy any additional requests that the customer has, and due to your deep level of expertise in the business and your ability to always approve or say yes to any customizations or client requests, you sort of get yourself stuck in that role, stuck as being the guy when it comes to making the sale, because you can make any sale because you have that ability to say yes to everything. But our natural owners penchant to please and delight everyone can easily push our businesses to offer too many products and services. And this variety of offerings often becomes only deliverable through your direct involvement as the owner because of the nuances and the level of customization that you have grown to let your customers expect. So when you are directly involved in the sales and the delivery of your products and services, then your customer becomes accustomed to interacting with you and expecting it. So what are some signs that you have fallen into the owner's trap? Well, if your business slows when you take a vacation because you're not there, then your business has fallen into the owner's trap. If customers come to you with their problems, you're their number one go-to, then you have fallen into the owner's trap. And if your organization's growth has reached a plateau, well, then that's because you've stretched as far as you go and your growth has reached that plateau and you are in the owner's trap because it can't grow without you and there's only so many hours in the day and the week. So not only are businesses that are stuck in the owner's trap stressful to run, but you're also tragically worth significantly less than you could be because few people are going to buy your company from you if your company is too dependent upon you, the owner. So just like we want our children to grow up to be confident and independent, you should want the same for your other baby, your business. You want your business to grow up and be independent of you. And so you've got to make sure that you are not stuck in the owner's trap. So here are three creative ways to get your business to run without you. So we want that independence. And so number one, the first thing that you can do to put yourself on the path to autonomy and letting your business thrive without your constant presence and involvement is replace yourself by niching down. The reason most owners can't replace themselves is that the substitute of replacing you would be too expensive. And trying to replace your breadth and experience would require at least one high salaried employee or multiple higher salary employees because you're just that good, right? But if you can't afford to replace all of what you do, then you can niche down your core offering, make it simple. So here's an example of a business owner of DBAT Academy. So Casey Cavill's baseball business. Now, when he started it, he could have catered to a broad range of players, from professionals to softball players to slow pitch beer leaguers and fast pitch high school players, etc. But instead, Casey got specific about who his business was for. And he decided DBAT was going to be for 5 to 10 year old kids. That's it. Yes, he could have charged more per customer if he catered to college athletes and aspiring pros, but those elite athletes would expect to get a hitting coach with years of expertise like Casey. And Casey would have had to staff for that, which would have been expensive staff to have. But on the other hand, when you have a business where one of your primary objectives is to give an 8-year-old the most awesome birthday party ever, well, guess what? An entry-level employee can do that for you. And so when you narrow down your offering, you can bypass those high salaries that come with someone that has to have that wide breadth of experience and expertise to deliver like you're delivering. Okay? So keep it simple. In our construction material supply business, we said yes to every material request that we got in the first few years. But you know, that would take a lot of time. When we would get a new request for an item that we hadn't provided previously, we had to, you know, go out and find the right vendors for it, get the right pricing, get everything dialed in, et cetera, and such. And then the order ended up being, you know, not that significant in volume. And, you know, we weren't getting the most favorable margins when our volumes were pretty low. And to be honest, after a couple of years and looking at it, we realized, wow, we actually aren't making any money in some of these categories when you factor in all of the time that it took to get us set up in those categories. So what did we do? We niched down. We only specialize in a couple of categories now, not the gamut that we used to be in and such. And it comes down to being able to say no. Say no. You've got to say no. You've got to just get really, really good at that niche that you want to build a well-oiled machine. And you can staff a niche way better, way easier, way more effectively. And you can be more profitable when you niche down. And the riches are in the niches for sure. And it's scary, but it is a beautiful thing when you get it figured out and you get it dialed in and you make that commitment. It will be okay. Trust me, I promise you.
Struggling to turn a profit in your business? Profit First Nation shares the proven systems used by thousands of entrepreneurs to transform from barely surviving to permanently profitable. Mike Michalowicz and Danielle Mulvey have been in your shoes. Now they pass on what they've learned, the exact financial hacks and mindset shifts to drive profitability through the roof. Real stories from the entrepreneurial trenches. A clear path to earn great money doing work you love. Join the Profit First community. Transform your business from a cash-eating monster to a profitable money-making machine. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Passion, profit, and play await in the Profit First Nation.
Number two, to avoid the owner's trap, is create a question diary. Create your own private, behind the curtain ChatGPT for your business so that all of your knowledge, all of your expertise goes into the repository. And when you bring on new employees, as you grow and scale your business, they can tap into that. It's like your brain in the cloud, and you don't even have to get that sophisticated. So when Jodi Cook was building her social media agency, she made a very conscious choice that every time an employee came to ask her a question, you know, the easy thing to do would have been to just answer the question. But Jodi forced herself to write each question down, and she turned that question into a business manual and answered all of those questions and documented how to do every single task required of her employees. you know, her manual came in the form of an Excel spreadsheet. She ended up having 50 or so tabs, each tab documenting a specific process like payroll. But, you know, I want to challenge you to do the same. When an employee asks you a question, resist the urge to just answer the question and move on. Document those queries, turn them into standard operating procedures, SOPs, that enable your staff to develop the expertise in the role. And then your go-to reference becomes the manual instead of you. Better yet, put the onus on the individual that's asking you the question or that you're imparting the wisdom upon to have them document it and then share what they documented. And again, with AI today, it is so easy. Heck, record your meetings with a note taker like Read AI. And now the individual that's tasked with the formal documentation has 80% of the content there from the recording from Read AI, and they just have to edit it and frame it with appropriate context. It is that simple, but it does require some discipline. Jody made the commitment. Jody was disciplined at it, and that's how she got her manual created of standard operating procedures. If you half-ass it, you're going to get half-ass results. If you go all in on it, you're going to get tremendous results. You want to go further and faster than your competitors. So go all in, stop half-assing things, make it happen, but it doesn't have to be you. How can you leverage your people? How can you put the responsibility and delegate it to others? And that is a big way of how you're going to move out of the owner's trap. Number three, this is going to shake you a little bit, but you've got to stay under the radar. Most companies, you know, make a big deal about who their owner or the CEO or the top dog is in the company on their websites, in their marketing, et cetera. However, when you put the spotlight on you as the most important person in your company, well, that will trigger everyone in this world, from salespeople to suppliers to prospective partners that want to go straight to the top, to call you directly because you've put yourself in that spotlight. So the more effective strategy is to downplay the role that you have in your company and get others to step up and shoulder more. So, you know, step out of the spotlight, go under the radar. And if people don't know that you're the owner or the president, then they won't come to you with all of their problems, right? Another way to do this is, in our organizations, my preference is to not use emails with names. So have department emails and then triage from there. Accounting @, sales @, contracts @, info @, support @, you get it. Stay behind the scenes and under the radar. Getting your business to thrive without you gives you the freedom to cherry pick your projects, to pursue the things that you want to work on, or it puts you in a position to just own a business and collect a passive income. A business that runs without you is a valuable, sellable asset if you ever choose on to move on to the new chapter in your life. So when you niche down, you create SOPs, and you downplay your role, these are the three tactical things that you should be conscious of today, even if you started your business a month ago, to get your business running more independently in the future. Because, you know, what's the real impact? Well, you're either maximizing or minimizing your valuation. Remember, we will all exit our business one day, whether we want to or we're forced to. So let's get some good coin for the blood, sweat, and tears that we've put into all of this. So, you know, what is the true litmus test to see if you're stuck in the owner's trap? Well, business owners who say, "I know each of my first customers by name," which on the surface may sound like a good thing, is the worst thing. While you may be delivering a great customer experience, if you know all of your customers by their first name, you probably have a very limited valuation because it means that your company is deeply dependent upon you as the rainmaker for the business, the solver of all the problems. Oh, no bueno. Now, contrast that with those entrepreneurs who say, I don't really know any of my customers personally, and I rarely get involved in serving an individual customer. That's money in the bank, people. Those businesses push the multiple of their earnings offer up 55% versus the businesses where the owners know each of their customers by their first name. So you want to be insignificant to your customers, ironically, is the point, to be a more valuable business, to increase and maximize your earnings offer by up to 55%. When you don't know your customers by first name, you want to step out of it. You don't want to be in the thick of it. All right, my friends, thank you for joining us for another episode. If you would like to work with a Profit First professional accountant, bookkeeper, or coach, please go to ProfitFirstNation.com and click on contact. Cheers to another profitable day, my entrepreneurial friends.
Thanks for tuning in to the Profit First Nation podcast. We hope you found today's episode valuable and that it's inspired you to take action towards achieving permanent profitability in your business. If you want to learn more about how to implement Profit First in your business and connect with a community of like-minded entrepreneurs, be sure to visit us at ProfitFirstNation.com to download our how-to guides and resources. Remember, permanent profitability is within your reach. And we're here to support you every step of the way. So let's do Profit First right together.
Profit First Nation website, related podcasts, and videos are provided for general information purposes only and do not constitute accounting, legal, tax, or other professional advice. Visitors should not act upon the content or information found here without first seeking appropriate advice from an accountant, financial planner, lawyer, or other professional.